Welcome to the Cooperative Cambridge Folk Festival podcast.
Last night's rain has failed to dampen spirits as we enter Saturday here at the Cooperative Cambridge Folk Festival. On today's podcast, I catch up with Sam Carter, Joe Pug, Eliza Carthy, Paddy, one of the key figures behind the club tent, and the PRS Music Foundation. My first port of call today, however, though, was the club tent, where there was a surprise performance from Seth Lakeman, performing with his father, Jeffrey.
Hi, yeah, I'm Vanessa Reed. I'm Executive Director of the PRS for Music Foundation. I'm here at the Folk Festival because PRS for Music Foundation is supporting Cambridge Folk Festival alongside many other festivals that we fund UK-wide. For those of you who don't know, the PRS Foundation is actually the UK's only specialist funder of new music across all genres. So we think it's really important for us to be supporting the Cambridge Folk Festival because it is the largest festival of that kind in the country. And I think it's doing really interesting things in developing audiences for folk through the connection with BBC Radio 2 and now with Sky as well. So, you know, we're keen to be supporting the festival, and we're particularly interested to support the club tent, which is obviously where the emerging artists or emerging talent are featured. And that really fits with our overall kind of aim to support, you know, tomorrow's most successful musicians, really. So we're there to support professional development and emerging talent. Just to explain the link between the Foundation and PRS for Music, PRS for Music is our core donor, and they are very generously giving us a donation of 1.5 million every year so that we can actually provide them with a way of putting money back into the music industry through a very transparent channel, because we're an independent charity with our own board of trustees. Obviously, PRS for Music in itself is also there for the music in the same way that the Foundation is. They're busy making sure that they collect royalties for artists and songwriters based in the UK, and I know that that's really the lifeblood for many composers and songwriters that are working very hard but not always being paid for what they've written. We've funded this year the club tent specifically, but what we try to do at the Foundation actually is when we support festivals, promoters, organisations and performance groups, we're actually giving them a small contribution to their core funding. So we don't like to actually ask organisations to kind of create a special project with which we can then, you know, support, for which we can then support funding. It's really about enabling the infrastructure for new music to provide the best possible conditions for new music to flourish. To find out more about the PRS Foundation, we have a monthly e-bulletin which you can sign up to on our website, which is www.prs4musicfoundation.com. Of course, just browse our website. We've got regular funding deadlines throughout the year, which any not-for-profit organisation is eligible to apply for. And we also support a large number of commissions every year, which is our way of supporting composers, songwriters and creators to actually create new work.
I'm going to see Sam now. I might try and catch Joe Pug tonight.
Holmes Brothers tonight, please. Thank you.
Yes.
Creepy Sisters. We've just heard them over there. They sound really good, but we couldn't see them at all, so we want to see.
Was it too busy?
It was in that tiny little hub. You can't get anywhere close, so you want to see them?
The Folk Festival is very well known for picking up artists before they make it big. My tip for this year is a guitarist called Sam Carter. He recently won the Horizon Award for Best Newcomer at the BBC Radio 2 Folk Awards. I managed to track Sam down while he was busking just after his performance this afternoon.
Just for tonight.
Thank you. So, Sam, thank you for your time. I realise you've had a pretty hectic few hours.
You're welcome.
You came off the club tent after packing it out, pretty hot and sweaty in there. Were you surprised by the turnout?
Yeah, I suppose I was a little bit. I wasn't really sure what I was expecting audience-wise, but it was fantastic and really receptive as well. So, yeah.
This is your first Cambridge Folk Festival.
Yeah, I came last year, but only as a punter, so it's nice to be here on a stage, yeah.
It's been quite an impressive 12 months for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, things have rocketed since, at least in terms of people's awareness of what I do with the Folk Award, and that's meant people have been up for booking me for more festivals, and that has sort of propelled things forward, and that's been great, you know, it's been really good.
Has the journey up to this point been a gruelling one, or has it been quite enjoyable?
It's a mix. I think anybody that does something creative like this, you go through that process of, you know, am I really any good at what I do? You know, a daily kind of, you know, you want to make the best music possible, and there's you know, you kind of flip between thinking, hey, I'm getting on with this, it's going well, and other times not. And days like this are great because, you know, just get out and play in front of an audience and people respond, and it spurs you to keep going. You know, I do make music to be heard, you know, although I make it sort of primarily to start with myself. I wouldn't do it if there wasn't anybody there to listen, I don't think.
Of course. Well, the Folk Festival has been known for putting on, you know, the next best thing on the club tent, and then the next year they usually play stage one or stage two. Can you see yourself doing that next year?
I'd love to do it, yeah. If it was up to me, I'd do it.
Of course. Yeah. Now, with the album, it's been out for quite a few months now.
Yeah.
What's coming up? What can we expect in the next 6 to 9 months?
Well, I'm working on a new album. I'm working on new material. That's probably going to be coming out, I'm not quite sure yet, maybe during the summer next year or autumn.
Just in time for the festivals again.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's what's coming up. There's lots of gigs, though, a lot more concentrated towards touring and just getting this album out to people, because after the, you know, the sort of Folk Award and so on, it's opened the way for lots of gigs, and I really want to get this album out and make sure that, you know, people hear it, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You had some great mentors over the last year or two working with you. Is there anyone at the Folk Festival this weekend who is here that you'd love to work with on any future projects?
Somebody that I'd love to work with. The Unthanks are great. I really like the Unthanks. Brayback were really good today. I've played with them a couple of times and they're really great. The Imagine Village as well.
Always good.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of people, actually. Yeah.
Eliza Carfrey has been performing at the Folk Festival for 20 years now, in many different guises. This year, she is not only performing with the Imagined Village, which she did last night, but also she's here as an ambassador for the cooperative. I caught up with her to find out more. Hello, Eliza. You've been all over the place today, doing a bit of this, a bit of that.
I have. It's nice to get around the festival, and you know, just usually when you're doing the summer festivals, you're here for a day, you run in, you do your set, and then you run out again, kind of thing. But it's nice to have an excuse to go and visit different bits, you know.
You've been coming here for 20 years now as a performer, which is incredible. And I think it's got to the point whereby you don't even need a wristband or a pass. They just say, "Oh, hello, Eliza, come through, no problem." I mean, how do you feel as a performer coming to a festival so much? Do you feel like you're part of the Folk Festival family here?
Well, in some ways I do. I mean, and I've seen it change over the years, and I've been a part of that, and it's always good to come back. I feel like you're coming home in some ways, you know.
You performed this year with the Imagined Village, which was wonderful last night. Were you pleased with your performance?
Yeah, very much so. I forgot that we were being filmed for the television. Every time I looked down, there was a camera, and I was like, "Oh, don't look at the camera!" Don't look at the camera. It was funny, but yeah, we had some little sound problems. My my monitors weren't working. But apart from that, it was great. We had a lovely time. It was, we haven't played together for a few months, so it was good to dust off the set, yeah.
I was talking to a lot of festival goers over the last couple of days, and they were all very much looking forward to the performance. And they love the fact that it's not always exactly the same lineup as well.
Yeah, well, the Imagine Village started off as a project and has really evolved over the, well, over the last 5 years or so into a real band. And I think that's one of the nice things about it. I mean, it was a good idea when it started, and now it's a good idea and a great band. You know?
Is it a bit of a runaway train where we're not sure really where it's going, or it's going to just keep continuing to expand? What's the future for that?
I don't think so. I think we're very happy with the lineup that we have. We're not looking for any big collaborations or any superstars to come in, that kind of thing. I think we're all just interested in, focusing our own vision really, and of what the music can do. We're already more than halfway through the recording our third album, and that's going very, very well. And new ideas and new things are coming through all the time. It's always good to see where we can go. You know, there's such a lot of different minds in there, and every now and then one of them will pop out. It's great.
Your relationship with the festival's gone onto another level now, as you're working with the cooperative on a variety of projects. You've recently done some work with some young people in creating art for the festival.
Well, that's right. You know, the thing about this park is it's owned by the council, I mean, obviously, but it is part of the city of Cambridge, and there's a lot that goes on here when the festival isn't here. So in some ways, the roping off of the green area, the roping off of the public area is part of what happens to the city every year. And in some ways, it's nice to have sort of local children contributing to the festival, and for the cooperative to make that possible as well, and for the festival to make that possible, they can you get a free ticket, and all you just have to come along, play with some paint for a couple of afternoons. It's absolutely brilliant.
It sounds great.
Yeah, it was great fun. We all got together, and there was an artist drew the sort of stencils for the welcome banners and for the seaside boards with the holes in them, where a particular hit where you stick your face through and you can have your picture taken. And we did a lot of painting that, different characters. We had aliens and a Morris dancer and a big old lady on one of those festival chairs drinking a pint and watching something, you know. And we had a great time just colouring them all in. It was brilliant. It's not like work at all. It's like, oh yeah, I've got to get up today and hang out in a sunny park and paint beautiful things.
Oh, it's a hard life, isn't it?
It's just awful. It was awful. I had an ice cream. Oh, it was terrible.
Your work with the cooperative doesn't really stop there. You're also now you're the cooperative ambassador, which involves a variety of roles, of which one is encouraging people to consider how they get to the festival.
Well, that's right. The Cooperative Cambridge Folk Festival has become one of the greenest festivals in the country. If you go all over the site, you can see the various green initiatives that are happening, including on places like the campsite, which is a fabulously well-organised campsite with recycling areas, that kind of thing. And the cooperative is running a competition this year called Reward My Ride to reward people for coming to the festival in imaginative green ways. One of the highest forms of pollution during the summer months is people travelling to music festivals, funnily enough, and really addressing that. The cooperative and the Cambridge Folk Festival are really trying to address that by bringing this competition, which I think is brilliant. What you do is you take a picture of yourself travelling to the festival in some different way, whether it be on a skateboard or carried on the backs of four oiled gentlemen, which was my choice. Unfortunately, I had to come in an aeroplane.
A green aeroplane.
I came a long way. I was working in the Czech Republic until I was here. So, but you take a picture of yourself coming here in some interesting, environmentally friendly way, and you send it into the website, into the Cambridge Folk Festival website, and they they're going to judge them all over the year, and then the winner's going to win a bike. So it's absolutely fantastic.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea at all. I think everybody has to think about the way that we travel to most things. One of the downsides of my job for me is the amount of private fuel that I have to use traveling around in a car or a truck, you know, or a big van to get to my work all the time is part of the difficult part of the job, really. And you have to think about ways that you can reduce your carbon footprint. So it's nice that we all sort of try and think about it, and we all try and do our bit, really. And I think the cooperative and the festival are really trying to do that and encourage us to do that.
As an artist who regularly tours quite often, how can you see musicians and groups in the future lowering their carbon footprints and actually becoming more sustainable as part of their tours? What sort of initiatives can you see happening? Any sort of new types of transport or any sort of new ways that people tour? Obviously, at the moment, a lot of artists tour quite intensively. You do one gig, you drive that same night to the next gig, and it can be quite intense, and it requires, you know, a quite heavy vehicle which takes up a lot of fuel.
It certainly does. The key is organisation, really, with bands, and trying not to carry around all your own gear all the time, I think, is a big part of it. It's good that the size of my band, the size of my organisations mean that we don't have to carry our own PA equipment, for instance. I think that's, we don't travel with lots of articulated lorries, that kind of thing. I think that really, really helps. There are various things you can do. There's carbon offsetting, there's tree planting, that kind of thing. But there's also talking to record labels about means of manufacture for your CDs, maybe manufacturing them domestically and not using so much plastic, having digipacks rather than plastics, jewel cases, that kind of thing. The cost of which is coming down all the time as everybody gets involved. So I think it's important that the music industry, as much as any industry, gets involved in the whole oil debate. You know, it's not going to be around forever, and we have to be a part of the solution as well as everybody else.
Speaking of records, not only are you performing everywhere and working with the cooperative, you've also got another record out, this time with your mother, which is out this month. Tell us about the album.
Well, my mother and I have been working together. I actually, the first time I came to the Cambridge Folk Festival, I was 13, and we played here together as a family, myself, my mother, my auntie and her daughter, as the Water Daughters. That was the first time we came here. And we've been working together ever since. We formed a band with my dad in 1991 called Waters and Carthy, and we've been playing together as a family ever since. But we'd never made a duo album together. I've produced her albums in the past, and she's been on my albums and singing backing vocals and playing the triangle and hanging around. But we've never done it together. So the record company thought it was a good idea, and we thought it was about time. So we've made an album together, and I produced it and arranged most of the music for it. She came up with a lot of the songs. We had a couple of themes on the album, one of which is family, obviously, and another of which is the idea of gifts, as music as gifts. A lot of the songs were given to us, or we've given them to each other. There's a song she used to sing to me when I was a baby, that kind of thing. So, it's doing quite well. It's been out for a couple of weeks now, and it seems to be quite popular.
The feedback's good, yeah?
The feedback's been absolutely excellent. It's been pretty much 4 or 5-star reviews all round, so excellent. We're very, very, very happy about it.
Finally, as a connoisseur of the Cambridge Folk Festival, are there any particular artists that you'd recommend people check out this weekend?
This weekend, I won't be seeing them, but I'd very much like to see Pink Martini. I have a couple of Pink Martini's albums. I'd love to see them. I'm a big fan of the Unthanks as well. I would say go see them. Carolina Chocolate Drops been on this afternoon. They were fantastic. I don't know if they're playing again, but they're very, very good. Who else? So many. Just out of curiosity, I'd like to see Chris Christopherson as well. But
I think everyone wants to see that.
I think everybody does. Yeah, it's gonna be crowded.
Behind Behind every folk festival stage, there is an army of people making sure it all goes to plan. Behind the club tent, I caught up with Paddy, who's been doing the work on the sound desk for the last 12 years, and I asked him what he loves best about the club tent.
The thing I like most about the club tent, I think, is the random and unexpected nature of who's coming up next. Because of the signing up, never know who we're going to get, and every once in a while, something really amazing happens, and I think that is the best bit about it. One of my favourites ever, the first time I ever saw Rachel Unthank and the Winter Set, I was absolutely blown away, and I've been a massive fan ever since. And the Lakemans, as we just saw, all in various guises over the years, have always done brilliant sets. I've lived in Cambridge all my life, and bizarrely, I had never come to the Folk Festival at all until about 12 or 13 years ago, and I came to visit some people who were working on the crew for the Sunday night party, and then I worked here the next year because I instantly fell in love with it. I think production-wise, when I started, it was very much the poor cousin to the other two stages. And I think people have finally realised that it is actually a very integral part of the whole festival. Just because it's smaller, that things happen here that, you know, that don't happen on the bigger stages with the big stars. And I think people have really realised that it's a very, very vital part of the whole thing. I wouldn't like to see it get much bigger, due to the size of the audience ebbs and flows over the course of the weekend. And if it was a huge tent and quite sparsely filled, that would be a bit sad for a lot of the people who are doing basically their very first ever public performance in their sign-up slot. So I think it's probably just about the right size. Occasionally too small, and normally not too big. So.
And finally, is there any particular artist that you'd recommend people try and see?
Johnny Kearney and Lucy Farrell are playing in the club tent this year, and I saw them at the Junction last year supporting the Unthanks, and they are absolutely brilliant, so I'm quite looking forward to them. And also Megson, who are fairly local and I've liked for years.
Hey, this is Joe Pug, and you're listening to the Cooperative Cambridge Folk Festival podcast. Get down.
Joe, we're sitting backstage behind the club tent where you're about to do your final performance of the Cambridge Folk Festival this year, your third and final show. Are you not tired yet?
No, I can't be made tired. This is, compared to other jobs I've had in my life, this is pretty easy. This is a cakewalk.
So what previous jobs did you have then which were much harder than this?
I've worked in the trades for a really long time, and actually, that wasn't even the worst job I ever had. I worked in an office for about a month and was ready to put a pistol between my lips by the end of it.
Not your kind of thing, then?
Not my deal, man.
So, this is your first Cambridge Folk Festival. How have you enjoyed it? Has it been good fun? Has it been as you expected, or has it been very different to what you'd expect?
It's, in size, it's smaller than I expected it to be. But I think that's a great thing. I think there's so many festivals out there these days, and some of them reach this point of critical mass where it's not even fun anymore. It's not intimate, but this is big enough where you get big, excellent bands here, but also small enough that it seems like people are interacting with, strangers, people they haven't met before, and it's got a sense of community to it, which not all festivals engender,
That's very true. Now, you were meant to be going across England for a few weeks before kind of finishing at the end of the Road Festival, but things have kind of changed now, is that correct?
Yeah, as it stands, this will just be like a two-day holiday here in England for me, and we'll come back for the end of the Road and do some UK dates afterwards and some Irish dates after that.
So how can people find out more about these future dates? Where can they go?
My website is, if people Google my name or joepugmusic.com, all that stuff should come up.
Great stuff. And finally, is there any particular artist you've seen this weekend which has blown you away, which you, never expected to have seen?
Well, I tell you what, I have seen him before, but I haven't seen him for a long time, and I saw the Carolina Chocolate Drops this afternoon, and I can't tell you how much I admire that band. They were great.
Saturday evening here at the Folk Festival, and the rain has held off as the sun has come through to dry up the site. Join me tomorrow for the final day of the 2010 Cooperative Cambridge Folk Festival. Thanks for listening.